You are one step closer to being able to hail a self-driving car here in the Valley. This week, Waymo, the self-driving car company from Google, launched a full-fledged commercial service in the East Valley called Waymo One. People will hail one of these self-driving cars with an app and pay to get to their destination. But just like in their testing phase, Waymo is opting for a slow rollout. That means if you're not already one of their early riders, don't expect to download the app and call up a driverless car today. Daniel Chu is the director of product at Waymo, and he joins us. And Daniel, how does Waymo One expand on the early ridership program that's been going on here since 2017? Tell us what's new here.
Yeah, so we're definitely excited to announce Waymo One. It's our commercial ride-hailing service. It allows our riders to access a self-driving car 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, across a territory that touches on Chandler, Gilbert, Mesa, and Tempe.
So it's not quite everywhere yet.
No. We're definitely being incremental about our launch and starting with a certain area and growing from there.
Okay. Is it on any road in those areas, or are you still sticking to certain streets?
For the territory that we're in, our goal is to service that area. And so it does build on the early rider program, like you said.
Yeah. Can you give us an idea of how big the fleet is, like how available these cars will be to people?
Yeah, so we definitely are making sure that the fleet is sizable enough to make sure that it's only a few minutes before a self-driving car comes to pick you up for a while when you hail it.
Okay. So who can ride in Waymo One? This is, I know you're beginning with people who were already in the early ridership program, about 400 or so people, right?
That's exactly right. Right. So if we go back to the early rider program, which we launched in April 2017, thousands of East Valley residents have applied, and we've been working with hundreds of them in taking into their feedback and learning and crafting this service and improving it. In terms of the rollout, we're starting with hundreds of those early riders. We're starting with them because they really understand our technology the best. We want to thank them for their feedback. And we also really want to focus on users that are going to use this on a regular basis. We're not looking for self-driving tourists. We're looking for folks that are local in the community who want to invest in the program.
Self-driving tourists will probably be a thing soon. Okay, so how is this different for the people who have already been in the early ridership program now that this Waymo One is rolling out?
So the relationship between Early Rider Program and Waymo One is basically going to be Early Rider Program. We'll continue that because that's our testing platform. That's our way to engage closely with members of that program, to hear their feedback, to have surveys with them. And so Early Rider is going to be where we continue to have new features and functionality roll out. So I'll give you three examples of things. One is, for instance, we've been testing pricing for months. In early rider program, that gives us the confidence to launch a commercial service that's charged for our users. On the other hand, we also have had early riders experience no driver in the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. And that's also something we'll eventually launch in Waymo One. And then as we expand territory, like you mentioned, that is something that will start with early rider program and then we'll move it to Waymo One. So Waymo One is really our scaling platform. That's our commercial service that will build up and scale over time.
Okay, so it's these riders now and eventually it will roll out to others. So this isn't fully open to the public at this point. When will it be?
So it's important for us to be incremental about our launch, that safety is at the core of everything we do. So we want to be very incremental about that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's over time. We're going to be expanding to additional members of the Early Rider Program and eventually definitely more members of the public.
Okay. And this is a program that they're paying for. Is the cost something that you're talking about right now? Can you tell us if it's competitive with other rideshare companies?
Yeah, so the pricing will be flexible. We're still learning. There's definitely some aspects of what's going to look at how far you're going, how long the trip will take. But our goal, as always, is to make transportation safe and easy. And so we want it to be accessible for members of the our East Valley.
Mm-hmm. So you said this is an incremental rollout. A lot of this is focused on being slow. And I know the last time I spoke with Waymo on the show, I asked a question of sort of about this mental leap that people are going to have to take when they start using this, right? This idea that it's weird when there are nobody's hands on the driver's wheel, right? So is that part of why you're making this such a slow rollout, or is it about safety and the scrutiny that you're under?
So that's definitely right. One of the things that we've learned in the early rider program is that being incremental is the right way to roll this out. When you talk about that experience going from driving yourself, to being self-driving, to no driver in the driver's seat at all, that's definitely a process that we think is better incremental.
Okay. And when it comes to safety, obviously, you are under a ton of scrutiny, right? You're one of the early companies rolling this out and on a commercial scale, especially. So do you anticipate sort of every incident involving a self-driving car from any company, big or small, to be really put under a microscope? And do you think that that is making this more difficult to roll this out?
I think with any new technology, we definitely understand that yes, there has been and there will be a lot of scrutiny. And so because safety is at the core of every mile that we drive, the core of our organization, we want to continue to work towards that. So, for instance, like you covered, the 10 million miles that we've driven on public roads in autonomous mode, over 7 billion miles that we've driven in simulation. We believe that experience is one of the best teachers for us, and that's an area we're continuing to invest in.
Yeah. So what do you say to people whose heart starts racing and they get really nervous and their hands start sweating, right, when they think about getting in a car with no driver or trusting that kind of technology over their own instincts?
One of the things that we've done, and you saw this in your ride, is our user interface. That's an area that we've definitely invested in as a way that we can communicate to our riders who may be taking a self-driving car for the first time what the car understands and sees. So for those who've seen it, it shows a bit around what the car sees, the other cars, the pedestrians, what the car is doing. That is one of the tactics that we take in terms of trying to communicate to our riders mm-hmm. how this car is operating.
But so every time I've talked to somebody about doing this, since I got to ride in the self-driving car, they bring up Uber. They bring up the self-driving car that hit and killed a woman in Tempe. And they say, you know, but that car didn't see that woman. And maybe I would have if I had been driving. When something like that happens, what's your answer? I mean, how do you reassure people that this is safe?
So definitely that's been something that's been on top of the mind and of the industry and wide. But what I can say is what Waymo does, right? And that goes to back to the main thing we can do is focus on safety, making sure that's built into our programs, making sure that's built in terms of how we test our software and how we're incrementally rolling out. I think those are the elements that go into making sure that we earn that trust.
Okay. So one thing that came to mind for me when I was driving in this car afterward, driving home, was the kind of car culture that we have in a city like Phoenix, especially. Like, you know, people who like to drive their pickup trucks or people who like to drive their little convertibles and everybody with bumper stickers. And, you know, this is sort of a part of people's identity here, I think. Is that something that you have thought about as you kind of develop this technology and think about where it may go in the future and how this might change that?
So we have a lot of car lovers at Waymo, and so it's definitely something that we talk about. The way I think about it is that the goal for Waymo is to make the roads safer, safe and easy for people to get around, right? We have over 1.2 million deaths on the roads on a global basis every year. And so that's what we're trying to tackle. We're not trying to take any cars away from folks. Like, people are welcome to drive, but I would say even the most hardcore car enthusiast, when they're stuck in traffic, right, or when their child is kind of frustrated in the back seat, that's when you wish you weren't driving. That's when you wish you had your time back, when you wish you didn't have to think about safety. The car could just take it from A to B, and you could reconnect with family, do whatever you want in that car. I think everyone has those moments.
All right. Daniel Chu is the director of product at Waymo. Daniel, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.